Welcome to He Said, She Said Razor Branding Podcast with Michael Russo and Jackie Russo. To learn more about how to improve your brand, visit brandrusso.com.
Hi, welcome to He Said, She Said Razor Branding Podcast. Usually this is when I introduce our super awesome guest and you're blown away that we were able to acquire such an amazing national talent to come and bring you their thoughts, their experiences, their wisdom, their knowledge, their expertise. But instead, it's just me and Michael, which I hope you enjoy even more.
That may be debatable. You know, I think we need the guests sometimes to even it out. I have some technical difficulties here.
Okay, well, I'm not sure that your super cool logoed mic cover is necessary to operate today. So maybe focus on us.
It's
there you go.
Casual.
You're back. You look All at right. you locked in.
So yeah, so just us today. What are we talking about?
Well, it sounded like when we tried to figure out what we were going to do to replace the guest who had to reschedule, that we thought we should talk about our trip to the 21 Hats Conference in Fort Worth last week.
Mm-hmm. It was a really eventful and surprisingly insightful week of, I don't know what you would call it. What is it exactly? It wasn't really a conference. It was like a gathering of...
It's a conference. It's not a trade show. It's a conference.
Yeah.
So let me set the stage for everyone. Lauren Feldman, who has been a writer and editor for everything from New York Times to Inc., probably Fortune, Forbes, you know, all the big publications. And I think in his career has really seemed to capture the things that matter most to small businesses. I think that's kind of his jam. And I found the 21 Hats daily newsletter right at the beginning of COVID, maybe a month or two before all that started. And it absolutely saved our business. His knowledge, the things that he was able to find out about the payroll protection plan or the EIDL loans or the ERTC credits. Obviously, we didn't do all of those things, but he gave me the intel to know if we should or should not do it. He told me things long before my banker or my CPA. I was in the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Program right when we all shut down. And that is a direct conduit to the SBA. And yet Lauren knew things before the SBA did about what the SBA was going to do. So needless to say, I have told him, and I'll tell anybody who asks, his daily newsletter helped us stay in business through what is one of the three or four darkest times in our 20 plus year history. All of that to say, when I guess around maybe year two of reading his daily newsletter, he launched a founding mastermind group. So now it's like monthly. And so monthly, we all get together on Zooms. It's a collection of small business owners and talk about our challenges. It's a loose format, but it's the best thing because we all bring problems and solutions to the table. We're not in the same industry. So there's a lot of cross-pollination of ideas, and I just love it. And then he launched a weekly podcast and asked me to be one of the guests that shows up every once in a while. And so that's been a blast. So now there's this annual conference. If you don't think that I'm a fan of Lauren Feldman, let me assure you, I am. And so Michael and I attended the second annual conference. The first annual we missed because our son was getting his MBA. And we just thought, you know, after that many years of school, we should be there for the big finale. So we head out to Fort Worth, specifically to the Stockyards. And if you haven't been there, which I had not, highly recommend. Michael, would you say that's one of the highlights of the trip for you?
Oh, I get to talk now.
Yeah, I realize it went on a long time. Sorry.
No, that's fine. Just
look,
wondering.
I am a founding member of the Lauren Feldman fan club.
I agree. And look, and I remember that time. Now, I wasn't dealing with any of those things because that's not really my jam, you know, as you say. But I recall you talking about the influence that he had, the information you were getting and all that. And so you had kind of built him up a good bit. I had not previously listened to the podcast or anything like that. So, you know, it was interesting to kind of see him in the real and meet him. And I think we're setting him up as this like guru figure. And he kind of is, though, I think.
He kind of is to me.
Yeah, he has a presence about him. And the people that are around him, they all seem to be like believers, you know. And I think what brought him, I'm sorry, I'm getting off topic from what you talked about. But it was the fact that he's a business journalist, right? He's written for these major papers. I mean, I don't know if you mentioned those earlier. Like, who did he write for?
Do you not listen to me when I talk? Because I clearly said New York Times, Inc., Forbes, Fortune, all the big
okay,
ones.
Perfect. Yeah, I may have zoned out at some point. You were going on for a while. It was a lot.
I am in the Lauren Feldman fan club. That requires quite a bit of time and dedication to his expertise.
Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah. So yeah, he has all this knowledge and experience, and it's just like a soothsayer. You know, it's like when you talk to him, you feel like you're talking to somebody with wisdom, you know? And, but the people he brought together were all fascinating. They were all CEOs and business owners and entrepreneurs. And, it was just a really kind of cool experience to be around people that I'm not doing work for, but they're kind of in the same space of people that I do work for. So it was just a different environment of hearing some of their problems and needs and successes and all these good things. But to your question, the stockyards at Fort Worth were amazing. I was so pleasantly surprised. You know, we had spent time in Nashville recently because our son was living up there after college for a little bit. And that's like a polished version of country, you know, like cowboys. Like they have, I mean, they all wear cowboy hats. They all wear cowboy boots. But up there, it was like shiny cowboy hats and shiny boots. This was like cowboy boots, like in the dirt. You know,
Spurs.
They had real cows. Yes.
They
like
came
real
straight from the ranch.
Legitimate. Yeah. You just, and I'm sure there's legitimate cowboys in Nashville too. Maybe. I don't know. But in Dallas, there was. I mean, there was like, they actually had a cattle drive in the middle of town, like twice a day, where they moved cattle from one place to the other. And it was really interesting. I enjoyed
it. I agree. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So Lauren brings people from across the country to Fort Worth. We get to see some Longhorns mosey down the street. And it was fascinating being in the Stockyard area of Fort Worth. And then we spend basically a half day, a full day, a half day. So 2 days together. And it was one of the best conferences I've ever been to because no one was talking at us. We were all talking with each other. And that was a very great way to go about it. And he used an event planner. So we had these lovely dinners all together at different restaurants. We got to spend quality time together during the day. We broke it up. You know, we took a tour of one of the people's manufacturing. And I think she's Michael's new best friend. And we got to spend time talking to each other. And I just left there full of energy and excitement and ideas and real enthusiasm for some new things we're going to do at our place and some lessons that I learned from some people who have gone just a few steps ahead of us. And it was just remarkable.
Yeah. And you're right. I am a super, super fan of her. What's the name of her company?
Her name's
blanking
Laura
on me.
Zander.
I remember Laura, and but
yeah, the place that we toured is called Madeline Tosh. They make yarn.
Right.
And then she has another place called Jimmy Bean's Wool.
Right. And the place we toured is like, I think, the third largest producer of yarn in the world, maybe. I mean, they were
Correct.
Giant. It was impressive. We got to walk through the factory and see how they colored each, like where it comes in from, like Peru and different parts of the world. They take that and these little stations where it's like a cooking station, I think you described it as. And they have where they're coloring each one.
Hand dyeing.
Yeah, hand dyeing. And it was just impressive to see that much inventory and that much process and how it was organized. And yeah, it was just, the whole thing was impressive. I realized people out there work for a living, you know. That was hard work. It was like organization and time and hands-on and effort. And what they do is just really impressive.
Well, let me ask you, when you were looking at that process and the work and you listened to Laura talk about all the different companies that she's acquired and this kind of massive business that she has put together, what were some of the thoughts going through your mind about that in relation to our business and what we do?
I can only think of how tired she must be, how exhausted she must be from all of that. Because, I mean, it is. It's a grind, you know, and all that. The weight of that, you know, because then I think they were out of Nevada is where the Jimmy Bean store is, right? And they bought this, they acquired this manufacturing in Texas, which is just a huge endeavor to take on, right? I mean, and not knowing about the manufacturing space and learning all the, I mean, we've had so many learning curves throughout the lifespan of our agency, the missteps, the mistakes of not knowing how to run a business and not knowing how to do this and figuring things out as we go. You know, there is no manual, you know, sometimes you just got to figure it out. And can you imagine taking on a whole different thing like manufacturing and the rules and the regulations and the codes and the employment and all that? And it's just, yeah, it's overwhelming.
No, I think I must have said at least 10 times during our time together, I'm just going to stay over here in my little professional services space and leave the manufacturing to the rest of you. Because there were a handful of manufacturing businesses in the group, and I appreciate my small challenges by compared to some of their big challenges. I know I heard years ago a story about, you know, everybody complaining. There's a classroom, I think, full of students, and the teacher was just tired of hearing them complain and asked each one of them to write down all their challenges and their sorrows and all the things that really plague them and put it in the middle of the room and then go grab somebody else's that you want to trade with. And nobody wanted anyone else's problems. They quickly realized that their problems weren't so bad by comparison. That is how I felt during this time. You know, running a marketing, branding, advertising agency has its challenges at times, but nothing compared to what the manufacturing people go through.
Yeah, and that was one of the hardest things about that whole week was keep my mouth shut, because, you know, the more, and I'm not a big talker to begin with, but everything that people would talk about, I mean, you know, in public spaces, I mean, I'm, you know, whatever, but everything I had, you know, it's hard to turn off the engine. You know, it's like, okay, I have a problem. I'm like, oh, I have a solution. We do that every day, right? We're constantly solving problems for people and figuring out how to do this better and how to do that better, how to reach somebody, how to message this, how to message that. And, you know, advertising may not save the world, but it can definitely help at times, you know, and everything I had a solution for in my head. So I was like, all right, they're not here to consult with me. And even though I want to tell them things, I want to give them all of the wisdom I have, whether that matters or not, I just wanted to share it. I was like, you know, well, have you tried this? Have you tried that? And we're dealing with a bunch of entrepreneurs. So everybody kind of knows everything a little bit because they've gone through the storm, you know, and they've learned a lot on their own and they've figured out a lot of the battles on their own. So I give them full credit for having the knowledge base they have. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, have you thought about that? Have you thought about this? Or maybe this, or, you know, based on your experience. So it was helpful that way too, just to, again, hear other businesses that I'm not directly involved with and kind of understand their journeys as well.
Well, that's the thing. Marketers are by our very nature problem solvers. That's what we do. When someone hires us, they're hiring us to solve a problem that they have. And so it's very hard to sit in a room with people who specifically have marketing challenges and not want to just step up and, you know, solve the problem. But that's not what we were there for. We were there for talk through it, to provide guidance, to share best practices. And that's kind of the part that I loved about it. Once I figured out the game, you know, I was able to set I have to take the weight of this onto my shoulders like Atlas and try to conquer it. And instead, I could just sit back and listen to it and think about clients that we've worked with that have similar challenges and just talk about some opportunities in the space. It made it so much more enjoyable and easier and fun. And, you know, really, it was a great experience.
Yeah. Well, and then it's so hard to take yourself out of it. And for me, especially is, you know, okay, let's look at the business from the outside in, because we're so engaged with everybody else's things, you know, and we really do immerse ourselves. I mean, we're all in on the clients that we work with. I mean, and hope, and I think most of them know that. And it's like not a punch in, punch out kind of thing. We're always thinking about them. We're always with them, and we're embedded. We travel. We go see them. I mean, there's a lot of involvement with what we do. It reminds me of the Jerry Maguire scene, whenever at the very end when Jerry he come. What is it? Ty? Ted? Who's the football player? Give her his name.
Which
the football
one?
Player? The guy.
Well, there were like five football players in the movie.
Jackie. The lead.
The Show Me the Money?
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Okay. Yes.
Anyway, his character comes off the field after his big moment, and he runs up and he hugs the agent, who's Tom Cruise, and they're like crying on each other, and it's really emotional. And you look, the camera pans over, and it's one of the greatest lines. One of the other players looks at his agent and goes, "How come you don't hug me like that? Or how come you don't treat me that way?" And like the agent tries to hug him, he's like, "Stop, enough."
Like, wasn't it like
it's
Drew
too
Bledsoe?
Late.
Wasn't it like a real football player that gave the
Somebody
line?
Like that. But
yeah,
it
I
was
think so.
But it was great. I think, you know, again, we are like that for a lot of our clients. So if you look on the outside, you're like, wow, they're really all in. So the point is, when you're like that, it's hard to step away and look at yourself. And this was a great opportunity to do that as like a real company that has real employees and real challenges. And how do we continue to motivate and train and develop and encourage leadership and growth and all those things, you know? So it was nice to have that perspective and the opportunity to have that perspective.
Well, you know, one of the things that I find myself saying often when I'm talking to companies who want to be our clients and they're sharing some challenges or you know, frustrations that they're going through. When you work inside the company for so long, as you were saying, it's very hard to have an outside perspective. And I think the adage, you can't read the label from inside the bottle, becomes very applicable, because when people spend that much time inside, they no longer know how they are seen by their clients. And they definitely don't know how they are seen by the companies who don't know they exist. And so what is it that's attracting those companies' attention? Why are those people going towards this company or that company instead of the one that wants them? And so it really is about understanding the buyer's journey and understanding a lot about how to differentiate in the space and understanding about what your brand is so that you know what and how we need to change the conversation.
On a side note, and when we have to cut all this out, because I don't want to offend anybody, but like I was recently on a shoot for someone at a conference somewhere, and they when we got done with the shoot, we had to go back and match the photos with a lot of the people that were on this resume thing sheet of attendees, and some of their profile pictures were so not in line with where they were. It was like 20 years old, like they had total, like, I'm like, what the hell? I mean, I didn't know there was so much change in it. I'm like, if you're just not taking the time, are you delusional? Are you just trying to keep up whatever? But somebody's eventually going to run into you and they're going to be like, oh my God, you're not the same person in the picture. It's like false advertising and dating, you know?
I think we should keep this in. And I think that you bring up a great point, because one of the biggest things that we talk about when it comes to building a brand is authenticity. So whether that's a personal brand or the branding for your company and organization, it's got to be authentic. And I find the corporate version of that is when companies pretend to be bigger or smaller than they actually are. To hear a great big Fortune 500 publicly traded global company talking about how we care. No, they don't. They care about their stock price. They care about their stock options. They might care about their largest stockholders. They don't care about the everyday customer. That's not true. So it's not authentic and it rings false. You think about small companies who think they need to get big business by pretending to be big business. And so they pretend to be bigger than they are. Those inauthenticities can cause such a break when you're trying to build a brand. And so this is just the human version of that same thing. I find it with filtering. When people go and overdo it on the filtering and photo editing, and I'm thinking, we know you have a wrinkle, right? So this odd porcelain face that has no lines whatsoever, that doesn't look real to anyone. And so, you know, lay off the filters, lady.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay to, I just had a talk with that with Irie, one of our designers here, and about some photography. And I was like going through some editing tips and things that I've learned over the years. And she had a good question. She's like, yeah, I'm always nervous about going too far, you know, in the editing process. And I'm like, I said, you're right. It is tough. But I said, you know, we want to put the best light forward too, you know? So if you can make some subtle tweaks here and there, it's okay. It's like putting on makeup. It's like wearing a nice suit or nice dress. I mean, it's okay to dress up for the part, you know? It's just as long as you're not morphing things and changing things dramatically. Like if you have blue eyes, you should have blue eyes. It should be green. If you have a mole, the mole stays there, because that's part of, it's not removable, you know? But
I don't know, if it's
bags,
on the tip of the nose, we should take that off, but you're right.
If you have bags under your eyes, I mean, that's not normal. Maybe you had a bad night's sleep and whatever, and you're tired, but you know, that can be easily polished up and not removed completely, but just made to look better. So
sure.
there is a responsibility with that and a fine line, but yeah, I think a little bit of embellishment is okay. You know, just if it's done right in the right hands, you know?
I think that there is a really thick line between putting your best foot forward and pretending to be something you're not.
Well, yeah,
two very different things. Putting your best foot forward, absolutely. Pretending to be something you're not, never a good idea. And yeah, so like if you're saying if people are using pictures from 20 years ago, that's pretending to be something you're not, because you're not that age anymore.
Well, yeah. And if I had a tie on, for example, it would look odd because I don't wear ties, you know?
Correct.
I barely wear collars or button downs or anything like that. So
you wear neither of those things.
No, try not to, but I can. I can dress up when I need to.
You know how to button?
I can suit up.
You
with the best
can.
of them.
I've seen it. It's a
True.
true story. Anyway, so just to finish up about our trip to Fort Worth.
Oh, did we get off topic?
We strayed a little, but I'm going to pull us back to center. What I think that the overall theme here is, one, surround yourself with peers. You know, if you are the only entrepreneur in your friend group, you need a professional friend group full of entrepreneurs. If you're the only chief something something officer, you're going to want to at least find one group of other chiefs to spend time with, because that's where you're going to not feel as alone. That's where you're going to feel like somebody else gets it and understands what you're going through. If you're the only married person in a group and everybody else is single, that is fraught with potential danger, the safety of your marriage. So you can have those friends. You've had those friends for a long time. Keep those friends. But at the same time, get some friends who are where you are or where you're heading towards so that you can grow with them. So that's one thing, was, you know, being in those peer groups, being around other entrepreneurs and leaders of their company is always really refreshing and makes me feel very supported and understood and just better. It just makes me feel better. Another thing is, be a lifelong learner. Make sure that you are taking in new resources, new information, new opportunities to educate yourself and get better, no matter how far along you've come in your career. And so whether you are reading 21 Hats every day or some other news source, get your news. Get business news, stay up to date, not just in your industry, but in your clients' industries and in the general business environment, because that's going to help you. Well, you'll make better conversation, but also it's going to help you stay one step ahead and know things that you didn't even know you needed to know. You'll feel much better about having that.
Yeah. And I think the peer thing is definitely true. I mean, I got a lot out of that time with everyone in that room. They had a couple of breakaway groups that I may have had a little rub with some people, but because they didn't agree with me and I didn't like that, but they had different opinions and they were not backing down. There was one group we were in and we all were supposed to come up with these ideas for somebody who had presented their case to us and whatnot. It was really interesting. And we had five different opinions in that circle. And then when they asked for the person, like a spokesperson, to step up, one of the women in my group stood up to go talk. She said, "I'll do it." And I'm like, I looked at the person next to me and I was like, she's going to say whatever the hell she wants to say. There is no way she's going to repeat. And to her credit, she did include all of her ideas. But I was fully sure that she was just going to like ignore everything I said and just say what she wanted, because they were all good ideas. It's just, you know, who had the priority of which one, you know. So it was interesting. But anyway, I digress. One of my best times there was meeting Sean, I believe, right?
Correct.
Yes.
With Kinetic, and Sean Bussey.
Yeah, he was one of the other creatives, really one of the, I don't know if the only one there, really.
The only. It's just
as far as, and I say creative, I mean not creative people, but like he does design and writing and paint, all that stuff. And so talking to him was really cool. And again, it was talking to somebody who was roughly around my age, who's been down the same track as me. He's learned a lot, and I've learned just from a 10-minute conversation with him. I kind of just felt better about my world, you know, because I was I was talking about his transition and getting away from the day to day a little bit more, and really trusting people and finding the right people and the growth of that. And it was just really nice to kind of hear that. And at the same time, I think Jackie was hoping he would take her side on some things, but he totally was on my
team.
Which
he did. He took my side.
No, he was full on. Like, yeah, I get it. I get you, Mike. I get you. I got you back. Yeah,
well, he may have gotten you and supported you, but he was agreeing with me about how we need to rearrange you in our internal process to better leverage your talent and time.
Yeah, I didn't get any of that. I just got.
Well, he clearly told you that.
Anyway, but yeah, but it was really cool though, and all that. And like I said, and I agree. Like I said, Lauren was I left there as a fan as well, and it's just nice to have somebody who you all want to be around people that are smarter than you, I think. At least I do. And it's intimidating sometimes, and it can be threatening at times maybe, but man, that's the way to be. If you're around people that are more accomplished and more just, they have more knowledge of certain things, and it's like, that's how you learn. And that's how you figure out where you are in that fish pond, you know? And okay, maybe I'm not the biggest fish. Maybe I'm not the smallest fish. Where do I fit into that? And how do I become what I want to be? And it's seeing other people do it is kind of a nice step in the right direction.
You know, to that point, I think that one of the biggest challenges is in the early years of my career and our starting and running this agency, most of that peer-to-peer time were other agencies in our same market. So at our evolution at that point, they were, you know, kind of competition. And so you had to be a little more guarded. You couldn't be as open and sharing. And it really, I think, prohibited what I was able to give back to the organization and what I was able to get from the organization. At this point, whether it's because we've just evolved our company so much and so we've really kind of grown up, or because, you know, even with Sean, he's not our competitor. He's not in our same market. He doesn't go after the same kind of clients we go after. So we could be really forthcoming and I think really kind of dig deep and be far more transparent. And I got so much more out of it. And I think I was able to give so much more to everybody else in the room. So that's when I talk about the people you surround yourself with. You're going to spend time with quote unquote competitors, but also make sure you spend time with collaborators. Spend time with people that you can give good ideas to and get good ideas from, that you can feel supported by, and that you can be honest. I mean, there were some people in the room who talked about the challenges of, you know, having some payroll cash flow challenges. There were some people who talked about acquisitions, having been acquired or acquiring other companies. Now, I mean, one of them made a lot of money, so she wasn't really having as many challenges, but retiring in her 40s meant she wanted to go buy another business and get back in the game. And so there was that. People talking about the challenges of staffing and recruiting and retaining employees. It's the things that every company talks about, but we were able to talk about it very openly, and it was refreshing.
Well, I think, you know, what you're saying about the agency thing too, I agree. Earlier on, it was, what are they doing? What are they doing? It was always about looking over your shoulder kind of thing. And I like where we are now in the world, and the fact that it's not that people aren't competitors, they are, but I think we know who we are. And I think we know who our clients are. We know who we want. And we know that if they want us, there'll be a good match. And if they don't, it's probably not a good match to begin with, you know? And having that clarification, I think is, we're always hungry and we're always wanting new business, obviously. But at the same time, it's understanding our place in the world and knowing that, you know, this is all going to be on video, right?
Oh, is it?
Yeah, we're going to publish this.
I forgot we were doing video now. I probably should have paid a different level of attention to you instead of doing a couple of tasks while you were talking.
I was watching, and then you started licking envelopes in case you're just listening. And I'm
just
like,
the one. I only licked the one envelope. I totally forgot we were doing these by video. Well, I think that's awesome. People now understand the challenges that you go through in trying to get me to pay attention to you when you're talking.
Yeah. Well, that's, you see me leaning in, I'm more engaged. Usually I would be,
you
know,
did participate more than usual and I didn't know why. And now it makes so much more sense.
Yes. We're being recorded. So, you know, and we could edit, but yeah,
no,
we pretty much
no,
run
it's
these
natural and real. Let it roll.
Yeah, generally. Yeah. But I do think you have some time running out for you, right?
I do have a hard stop, but I did kind of want to just wrap up by saying this. I think that, back to the Lauren Feldman fan club, if you get a chance to subscribe to 21 Hats, and so we'll put that into the notes. If you, you know, find a way to listen to the podcast when you get a moment, it, you know, even better, put it in your application. He keeps it as to a small group, but sign up. I think I finally today talked him into doing the conference twice a year. And so jump on the next one. You'll appreciate the time of being with other people in a similar boat as you. And I feel like you'll get a lot out of it. And you'll get to spend some time with Michael and I, because we'll be at the next one too.
Most likely. I don't know. Maybe I may be at the top of my social interaction quota right now. But
well, you'll have a few months to recharge. And I think we're going to Atlanta so we can visit your sisters.
Okay.
See?
Okay.
Twofer.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, there was some times where it got a little much for me, because it's a lot of talky, share, you know, with people that I didn't know. Although you would have impressed that last dinner, I went and sat by myself with the group and with
so
my.
This is the timeline, right? First dinner, we leave. No, first dinner, we make it all the way to the end, but there's only like five of us because it's an early dinner. There's a very exclusive little group. So first full dinner, we leave the minute the main course has finished being served. Like, I went to the restroom. I didn't even get back into the dining room. Michael was up and out the door. Like, we're out of here. I was like, this is an Irish exit for sure for an Italian. By the last night, Michael's sitting at a different table by himself, holding court. I hear laughter, not him, them laughing at the funny, witty, smart, insightful things he's saying. And I'm getting emails from people talking about how great it was to have Michael participate and contribute. So that's quite the arc that you went through.
That's called alcohol. I was
it
drinking.
Is not.
No, I wasn't drinking a lot. No, but that was interesting though, because we were talking to other people that were married and running businesses or thinking about running business together, and they wanted to hear what it was like. And I'm like, I don't recommend it. If I'd known that,
I would have sat at that table with you because I have thoughts.
Yeah, well, it was interesting, and it was, you know, and I wasn't like I wouldn't recommend it to somebody because there's challenges, but I also wouldn't say not to do it because there's, you know, you talk about that camaraderie and having somebody at the end of the day. I mean, I'm kind of feel bad for people that get home and they don't have that. I don't care how secure you are and how strong you are in the world. Having a CEO and a friend or a spouse or whatever at home is not the same thing as having a business partner that you, you know, you're that close to. And like, there's no way out of this, you know, good or bad, you know, so we're stuck with it. But the benefits of having somebody to lean on through the good times and the bad is the most rewarding thing, you know?
Agree. And if you work together and have kids, your kids grow up knowing all kinds of stuff about your business.
They do. And yep. Don't like it that much sometimes.
Not always, but you know, it pays their bills, so they should be happy.
Well, for now, hopefully they become independent soon.
Oh, we're getting them off the payroll, buddy. At least two this year.
Look forward to it.
Making it
all
happen.
Right, well, Jackie, this was fun. Again, yes. And if anyone is still listening, and if Lauren happens to listen, thank you again for having me and for all the help you've given Jackie over the years. And we definitely look forward to your continued success. And I hope, I do hope that people, you know, if anybody is listening still, is to go look him up.
If we have 15,000 downloads, there's at least three people listening 3,000 times, 5,000 times. Can't do math.
I hope so. I mean, because, you know, I think this, yeah, there's good information out there. I don't know if this was very helpful, but it is very helpful because if you get tuned into another resource that helps you along the way, then that's good.
Correct.
Do you have information on how they do that, Jackie?
I do. They should go to 21hats.com and sign up for all the things. You can subscribe to the podcast, subscribe to the daily newsletter, follow 21 Hats on LinkedIn and all your social media platforms, and you know, get in there because it's good stuff.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Jackie. Bye.
Bye.